This is WLRN News. I'm Sammy Mack. Every day, twice a day, Dr. Joan Muir's commute to and from the University of Miami Medical Campus takes her through Liberty City. Muir is a clinical psychologist, and a lot of her former patients live in the area. She likes to occasionally pop in and say hi.
And have a conversation for an hour, and just how are things going? And they would tell me, shootings that had occurred and where was safe and where was not safe.
Muir runs the Brief Strategic Family Therapy Institute at UM, which develops counseling and treatments for families of troubled youth. Clients of the program are frequently young survivors of gun violence. Over the past decade, more than 850 kids and teens who were shot came through the Ryder Trauma Center next to where Muir works in Miami. The vast majority, close to 90%, survive. We sat down to talk about the mental health burdens these young survivors carry with them. When children and teenagers survive gun violence, what can that do to their mental health?
They have symptoms that look very much like combat veterans. There is a re-experiencing of the traumatic event. So mentally, they're re-experiencing what occurred over and over again, and sometimes at inopportune times, like when they're in school. Or the classic statement that many combat veterans will make, as well as children, the 4th of July. When you hear firecrackers exploding, you're thinking, who got shot? The re-experiencing of the trauma is something that without treatment is not going to go away.
How common is it for survivors of gun violence and the people who live around gun violence to experience that kind of trauma and stress?
I think that it is far more common than we're comfortable with. They themselves are not aware of it. You see it years later in decreased lifespan, meaning they didn't get killed by gun violence, but they have severe health issues.
What about the family and sort of immediate community around a young survivor? What does that trauma do to them?
This is one of the areas in which parents feel most hopeless. What is the role of a parent to nurture, guide, and protect? And when you yourself feel unsafe, then you are not able to provide that sense of security. You may say it, but your child knows from the hollow sound of your voice that you are afraid also. So we have children with a loss of innocence, because when you know that someone's been shot on your street, when you've seen police examining a dead body, that's very difficult as a child. And I know parents who say things like, I have never slept a good night's rest.
How do patients in South Florida end up at the Family Therapy Center here?
We actually train and develop programs inside of community agencies. And how they come is usually through referrals from either juvenile justice or from schools. At this point, we're seeing about 2,000 families a week.
What does it cost to do this?
This is the hysterically sad truth. It costs less than $4,000 per family. And to put a youth in juvenile detention is about $80,000 a year.
How does the trauma of surviving gun violence impact the people who don't think that they know somebody who's been shot?
Right. I would roll back to September 11th. As a nation, we were together in the morning of the event. But the people in New York City who lost their loved ones were in pain at a level that we cannot even imagine. And that is exactly what you're saying. The reality is that we're not safe if no one is safe. Because eventually the problems come to our doors in different ways. If nothing else, in our pocketbooks, in our taxes, or whatever it is we have to do for security. But the one thing and message I'd like to leave is stop saying you want an end to violence. Instead, say, I want to support healthy communities. Violence is a symptom of some serious social decay that we all have allowed to happen.
That was Dr. Joan Muir, Executive Director of the Brief Strategic Family Therapy Institute at the University of Miami. This is WLRN News. I'm Sammy Mack.